I remember her being very spooked. Caitlin was not the type of person that like would play jokes or like even like entertain that kind of nonsense. She was kind of just always going. So to see her spooked like that, I do remember that face.
Remember, faithful listeners, how I told you I went to 2 haunted schools? Well, I told you about my haunted high school. Now it's time to hear about my haunted university. I'm Dory Peacock, and this is The Ghost Box. Southern Utah University is not a very old school. It was founded in 1897 as the Branch Normal School. Presumably, it was surrounded by abnormal schools. It became the College of Southern Utah in 1953, became an official state college in 1969, and didn't become the 4-year baccalaureate university we know today until 1991. It was one of the first state schools founded after Utah gained statehood. And it is most famous for being home of the Utah Shakespeare Festival, a repertory theater company that runs in the summer and fall. It's kind of a big deal. It won a Tony for Best Regional Theater in the year 2000. The Shakespeare Festival is what drew me to SUU as a young high school graduate. I knew the campus because I attended plays and workshops at the festival every summer since I was 8. I could go on and on about how magical it is to grow up with the Shakespeare Festival, but you're here for the ghost stuff. So let me settle for giving you a little tour of the premises before we meet our ghostly inhabitants. The big draw of the Shakespeare Festival is the Adams Memorial Theater. It's a slightly scaled-down recreation of Shakespeare's Globe, with the addition of bucket seats in place of standing room on the ground floor. It was built in the mid-70s, and until the Globe Theater in London was reconstructed, it was one of the most accurate recreations of an Elizabethan theater in existence. It sits in a cobblestone courtyard between the SUU Auditorium Theater and a large grass quad, which separates it from the Braithwaite Building and Old Main. Old Main is also said to be haunted, but that's a story for another day. The Adams Theater is connected to the SUU Auditorium by a basement. A creepy, tunnely basement. Most of our stories concern this basement. So let's take a walk through it. If you were to walk through the backstage area of the Adams and down the stairs, you'd find yourself in a wide but short tunnel with a 6 or 7 foot ceiling. You'd pass makeup stations used for quick changes, the trapdoor with its mini elevator mechanisms, 2 small dressing rooms, and then you would enter the costume shop, where all the costumes for the festival and the SUU theater department are made and maintained. From the costume shop, you could turn right and enter the green room, which is a little lounge area with couches where actors can sit when they're off stage, and where tired college students can nap before rehearsals. Walk through the green room and you'll pass through a door, and now you have a choice. You could go left, up the stairs, and onto the ground floor, back to the courtyard, or right and through the portrait gallery to the public bathrooms. Or you could go straight, through a door with a glass window, into the laundry room. That probably sounds weird, but every theater has a laundry room. That's how they keep the costumes clean between performances. As you can imagine, the laundry room itself is pretty boring. Washer, dryer, dye vat, etc. The thing of interest to us in the laundry room is a door leading to the pipe tunnel. The pipe tunnel is exactly what it sounds like. It's a tunnel filled with pipes. I'm pretty sure it was designed for maintenance and upkeep of the pipes and electrical mains that run under the auditorium. But it's also the only way to get from the Adams to the auditorium dressing rooms without being seen by an audience, so it's been used many times to transport costumes, or indeed actors. It's undoubtedly the scariest part of the basement. It's narrow, the ceiling is very low, and it only gets lower as you get closer to the auditorium side. It has two places where you have to dodge low-hanging pipes, and two more where you'll trip if you aren't closely watching your step. The only lights in the tunnel are a set of fluorescent lights controlled by switches on the outside of the tunnel at either end. So it's not uncommon to be halfway through the tunnel and suddenly plunged into darkness because somebody turned the lights off without knowing you were in there. Not that I'm bitter. And speaking of lights, the tunnel runs parallel to the auditorium seating. That means that if the light is on in the tunnel, it can be seen through vents on the auditorium wall. So during a show, the lights in the tunnel have to stay off, which means if you're doing a show in the auditorium and for any reason you need to travel through the tunnel, you're doing it in the dark. Some prankster before my time tried to write, "Your life is in danger" on the tunnel wall, which would be scary. Except they spelled it wrong, so it reads, "Your live is in danger." Once you leave the pipe tunnel, it gets a lot less scary. The basement of the auditorium is really just a big, wide room that can double as an orchestra pit or storage space or lounge space. In this big, wide room are two important doors. They are the doors to the men's and women's dressing rooms. They're on the west and east side of the room, and within each of them is a dressing room to the right, and a bathroom to the left. This will be important later, I promise. Each side of this wide room also has a set of stairs leading up to the backstage area of the auditorium. The auditorium itself is pretty standard. Large orchestra-level seating and a balcony with 7 to 8 additional rows. Altogether, it probably seats 600 to 700. At the very back of the balcony are the sound and light booths, where the stage manager and technicians sit to run sound and lighting during the show. The sound and light booths are only accessible through a staircase in the lobby, which is unremarkable as far as lobbies go. There's really nothing interesting about it except that it's adjacent to the iconic Shakespeare Festival fountain and the iconic Shakespeare Festival gift shop, which is actually a black box theater converted to a gift shop once a year. Fun fact. Now that you're familiar with the layout of the theater, let's meet some of the ghosts. In the words of my friend Casey, there were supposedly 3 ghosts that haunted SUU Theater. The first was the ballerina who, late at night, would dance in the ghost light. The second was a man wearing a top hat, or as we called him, Top Hat Guy. He would sit in the balcony and watch the ballerina dance. He gets very upset if other people see her or are watching her. This is what started the tradition of calling into the theater before you turn the lights on. If you were the first one to arrive, you needed his permission to enter, lest you see his ballerina. Casey was unable to record with me, so I'll be reading her experiences from an email she sent in. I should also clarify that the ghost light she referenced is a standard piece of theater equipment. It's a light that's left on in the theater when it's empty. It's usually a tree light sitting on the stage. Some people say it's called the ghost light because it protects the theater from ghosts or lights the way for ghosts, but no one really knows. I have a hunch that what it really protects the theater from is liability. In addition to the top hat man and the ballerina, there's some sort of amorphous presence in the pipe tunnel. According to Casey, the third ghost was what I called the tunnel ghost. This is just some sort of spirit that lives in the tunnel between the costume shop and the basement of the theater. There was always a general banging sound in that tunnel from the pipes, but when the ghost was there, it got much worse. I was in the tunnel once with Jill and heard it. It was super late at night, and the noise got worse than they usually did, and we felt a chill go over us. We were struggling to get a rack through the tunnel during a tech for a dance concert. We dropped it and ran. Obviously, we went back to get it, eventually, once the noise stopped. We're going to hear stories about each of these apparitions, but we're also going to hear some that are a little more mysterious. Not so easy to attribute to one presence or another. We'll begin with the story of a stage manager in the early 90s. You've heard from her before in our Haunted Schools episode. That's right, this is the return of Ms. Cortez.
All right, so it was probably 93, probably 94, maybe. It was 94, 90, 93 or 94. And we were doing Arms and the Man, I believe, and I was stage managing it, and it was in the auditorium. So when you came up the stairs, you went into the sound booth first, and it wasn't very big. The sound booth wasn't very big. It was maybe the size of a normal size bathroom. And then you would go into the light booth, and the light booth was pretty big because you had the light board, and then you had spotlights, and then was the door to the office. And that was locked because it was one of the, it was the tech teacher's office. So I had a key because I was a stage manager, I had a key to it, but I would have been the only one that had a key to it because it was her actual office. So the only way you could really get into the booth was right by where I was sitting because her office was locked. So it was, I was like in this little corner kind of off by myself. And then the sound booth person was in the same room, but kind of on the other side within the sound equipment. And then there was like a little window and you could see the light board operator next to us. And there was a shadowy figure in the balcony, and we could see the shadow, but we couldn't see the person. People would go up into the balcony. I mean, we didn't really, I don't remember ever really using the balcony as a seat because the auditorium is pretty big. But like faculty members would go sit up in the balcony. And so we really thought it was Mr. Bug at first because that's who was directing it. But he would, you know, normally like kind of wave at us when he would come in. And it was sitting like the third or fourth row, you know, it was like sitting like the third or fourth row back. So we didn't have a really good shot of it to see, you know, and it was dark. It was in the middle of the show and there's no light up in the balcony. So it was definitely a shadow, and we, you know, and it was just sitting there. It was tall and dark, and you know what I mean, and slender, but it didn't really have a shape. And it was sitting high, and it was, like I said, it was slender, and then it just was gone. Like, we both looked, and the sound technician couldn't see because he was inside the sound equipment. So it was the light board operator and I, and we were like, what, you know, who is that? And we were trying to figure out who it was. We, you know, we kind of like looked over, and it was, you know, that wasn't a very high called show. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of cues for that show. You know, I think we had a sequence of calling shows and then I, or calling cues, and I looked over and the shadow was gone. And I said, the light board operator, you know, it's gone. I said, did you see it leave? And he said, no. And then he went out to look and it wasn't there. So then we heard footsteps above us. So the important thing to remember is there's only two ways to get into the catwalks of the auditorium, which was in the light booth, in the office that was attached to the light booth, of which no one, you know, we didn't go that way, but that's not how we got into the light booth, was through that office. That office was locked. So there was a door to get up to the catwalks from there. And then there was a ladder backstage as well. So we're in the middle of the show and we could hear somebody walking around, like we could hear footsteps right above us. And we were all kind of reacting to it, like, what is going on? And then there were air conditioning vents, and the one in the light booth started rattling and then it stopped. And then the one in the light booth started to rattle and then it stopped. And then that went on for a few minutes where the different grates would rattle, but there was no footsteps to those. Like, it wasn't like somebody was walking back and forth rattling them. It was just like, once it would rattle, and then a minute or two later, another one would rattle. And it was pretty aggressive rattling. It wasn't like, you know, it was pretty, and it bounced between the three grates. There were three grates that it bounced between. And then it settled on the grate right behind me. And then our light booth flooded with cold air. And then there was another rattle of that vent in the light booth. And then the light booth went ice cold. Not the light booth, the sound booth, the sound room, and it went ice cold. So I went into the light booth, and the light booth was hot. So only the sound, that little sound room, was ice cold. The rest of that booth was hot.
And like, as far as temperature goes, was it normal for one, like if the air conditioner turned on in one, could it still be off in the other and they'd be different temperatures? Or is it like weird that they were different temperatures?
No, they were always the same temperature, you know, and they were typically hot. So it was odd because they were typically warmer up there because of all the equipment and it was so high up. So they were not cold. It was not cold up in that building. So for that room just to go ice cold And that's when, I mean, I really felt like there was a joke being played on me until the room went ice cold. And so by now I'm kind of freaking out. The guys are laughing at me and I'm freaking out. And I'm like, okay, what are you guys doing? Who's up there? And, you know, you could feel that someone was up there. And so kind of was going on for a while. And then it was intermission and I went downstairs and I was upset and I went backstage to yell at the backstage manager, like jokingly yell, because I figured they were playing a trick on me. And the ladder backstage was locked in the locked position. So there was no way anybody could have got up there because the tech manager had the keys. So the ladder was locked up in position. So there was no physical way anybody could have gotten to the catwalk.
Had the tech director been in there at all that night? Like, could he have come in and...
No, he didn't come to anything. I don't think he ever came to a show.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't... So no one was there that would have had a key to that?
No, It was just kind of crazy, like the cold and the way that the things were rattling and the shadow, and it all happened. And that was the only time it really happened that great. I mean, there was definitely moments where you would feel a presence and then the cold air, but it had never been so strong. And it happened all in that first act. And then nothing really happened in the second act. And I was almost tempted not to go back up there because that was my first full hardcore experience, other than just a little bit of a chill here and there.
It is possible that the shadow figure in the balcony was Professor Bug checking out the show from a new angle. But Bug doesn't wear a long dark coat, and he isn't a strikingly tall man. And who was walking in the catwalk if the catwalk was locked? Could it have been the top hat man, who is known to appear in the balcony and booth? Back to Casey. I saw Top Hat Guy a couple of times. He was a generally mischievous and vicious ghost. He wanted to remind you that the theater was his. He mostly liked to appear in the booth and auditorium theater. He liked to move things around when I was in there by myself. Cables would disappear to the other side of the room and cold chills, etc. The semester I took scenic painting class, I felt him and saw him a bunch. Because I would have to be in the theater super early or late to finish projects, I would often be there by myself. When I turned the lights on, they would flicker if I didn't ask permission to come into the theater first. I saw him once sitting in the balcony when I was crossing the stage, and I had to leave my project until the person who was supposed to meet up with me got there. Once again, this has only ever happened when I was there by myself, and it was early morning or late at night, and he always appeared in the balcony, but would often play with the light backstage. In the afternoon or during rehearsals, no problems. When there was a lot of people in there, no problems. I also thought I saw him in the Adams Tech booth once, but I wasn't entirely sure if it was him or a different ghost. I don't know if he followed me because he wanted to scare me or if it was something else. I never did see the ballerina. Once during stagecraft class, I grabbed something from the tech booth with Amy and we saw his reflection in the door that separated the sound booth from the stage manager's side. We obviously went screaming. Casey's account of seeing the Top Hat Man is backed up by her friend Amy, who remembered it a little differently. Once again, I was unable to record with Amy, but here's what she said in an email. I only thought I saw him once. It was one of the nights we were doing 24-hour theater, and I ran up to the booth to get something, and I entered the sound booth and was headed toward the light console. That second door was shut, and I could have sworn I could see a reflection of a face and a top hat looking in the glass in front of me as if he was behind me. Even before that, there was never really a comfort with that theater. In my high school, we had a professional performing arts center attached to our high school, and I remember that theater being very peaceful with it being dark, or if I was the first one there to unlock or the last one leaving, and I never got that peaceful feeling at SUU. There was always some sort of uneasiness or an anxious energy. I was never excited to be there by myself, if that makes sense. So was it sleep deprivation? Was it Top Hat Man? I guess we'll never know. We really may never know. But I found one more person who saw the Top Hat Man.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So there are some places where, like, I'm really fascinated with abandoned places. I don't have like a gift to see ghosts or talk with them or anything like that. But the reason I love abandoned places is sometimes you go in there and there's just like weird energies. You walk in and you're like, something bad happened here. Or you walk into another place and you're like, oh, this is very peaceful. You know, I never thought anything of it. Never went ghost hunting or anything like that. But one Halloween, it was my junior year. And I was currently in a musical called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. That was currently being performed in the auditorium theater.
This is Mackenzie. She went to SUU with me. She even lived with me for a semester. I was on tech crew for that show, but I wasn't with her when she went back to the theater after rehearsals one night.
Now, the set for this show that was being produced was, I believe, two doors on the bottom, but I vividly remember there were like four doors across the top. Because people were coming in and out. It was a very farcical show. Lots of doors on this set. The person I was dating at the time had a key to get into the auditorium, you know, and we thought it would be fun to go into the auditorium and just like sneak in and see if the ghost light was on and just see like what would happen, you know. We're just asking for it. I didn't think that anything would actually happen. But so it's late at night. It's probably like 1:30, 2 in the morning on Halloween Eve. And he unlocks the door and we kind of like sneak in. And, you know, I kind of had a crush on this guy. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. Oh my gosh. So our whole goal was just to walk up the right-hand aisle of the auditorium, cross in front of the stage, and then go back up the far left aisle, leaving the aisle in the middle untouched. We weren't going to touch, go up that aisle. So first thing we do is we get in, and it just has like a really, I don't want to say, it has like a dead feeling. Like it kind of like was too quiet. It just felt really weird. And we were like, oh my gosh, okay. So we start, and it was all fun and games, and we were walking up the right-hand aisle, and like just had this weird feeling that like someone else was in here. And I looked at the stage and we couldn't really see anything on the stage except the ghost light was far away. It was in the wings. So there was this tiny, tiny dim light casting this, you know, the whole set was in this shadow, but we could see all the doors were open on the set. So as we get to kind of the front of the theater, we both kind of like stopped giggling because we both felt the same thing. And it just felt like someone was there. And we were like, oh, okay, let's just get this over with. Let's just get out of here. So we were still walking our kind of slow pace, and we got to the very middle of the stage, and suddenly all the doors start slamming on the set. Like, and like, even if someone was back there, there's no way they could have got to all of those doors. It was a double-decker set. Like, there's no freaking way they could have started slamming all of the doors. At that point, we freaked out. I started screaming and we just bolted up the middle aisle because we had this huge, this dark presence was there and it was just like, get out. I didn't see anything at that point except the door slamming. So we bolted out. So we get out of the auditorium, and then the box office is off to the right-hand side, and the doors to the outside are made of glass. You can totally see through them. So me and this guy burst through the glass doors and we're just like running for our car. Our car was just down the kind of like grassy front part of the theater. It was facing the glass doors, and we jumped in the car and we like locked all the doors and we're like, oh my gosh, and we look up and there is just a dark figure standing in the middle of the glass doors staring at us. And it looked, I couldn't see any facial features. I couldn't see anything. It didn't have like solid physical definition that I could see. It was just a dark humanoid figure, but we could clearly see that he had that like hat on, that hat silhouette. We lost our damn minds and drove away.
So we have three Top Hat Man sightings. But what about the ballerina? A few people have claimed to see her in the past, but I couldn't find a ballerina witness who was able to record with me. It's rumored that the ballerina may also haunt the Adams Theater. I had a few Facebook replies from people who had experiences with the Adams, but again, no luck getting them on tape. So if you have a story about the Adams, hit me up. Anyway, when I was at school, I didn't know anyone who had seen her. Then again, maybe I do know someone.
Okay, so I definitely saw a ghost. I was at the SUU auditorium, and I was downstairs in the dressing room. We were working on a show, and I used to not always have time to warm up before the show, so I'd go to the bathroom and warm up in the bathroom because, you know, bathroom acoustics are great. Well, I was going down there, downstairs one night before the show and just getting ready, and I went into the bathroom and I turned on the light, and I just so happened to look over my shoulder inside the bathroom, and I kid you not, I saw a ghost.
This is Caitlin, and the weird thing about her story is that I was kind of there for it. The show was Little Women. Caitlin was playing Meg and I was leading the wardrobe crew. The actors were all dressed, the crew's top-of-show chores were done, and we were sitting in the open area outside the dressing rooms waiting for the show to start. Caitlin came out of the bathroom with a dazed expression and said, I think I saw a ghost. And we were all like, wait, what? And then she told us what she saw.
I saw this, like, figure. It was this, like, dark, shadowy figure of, like, a person, like it looked like a girl, and I saw it for, you know, less than a second, but it moved right away, but it looked like a little, like a person that was kind of like crouching down, and it was kind of like down in the corner. It was like blue kind of, and it was like a shadow, but like 3D, but you could kind of see through it. Yeah, but it was like this girl, and I just remember flipping on the light and looking over, and it just, oh, there she was. And it wasn't still, it moved. It moved like behind the partition, but it didn't move like a person could move. It just kind of slid away. And I screamed and I started freaking out because it scared me so bad. I'm kind of getting the chills talking about it because I can still see it. It was really scary. And so I ran out and I was talking to some of the other actors, and I saw a ghost, and I was freaking out a little bit. And so we went back, and obviously nothing was there because it had gone, but I swear up and down that I saw it. And then we had more shows to go. So the nights following, I was always nervous to go into that bathroom because I was afraid I would see it again. Yeah, it was really scary. Yeah, it gives me the chills thinking about it.
My friend Mona was there too. You heard Mona's voice at the top of the episode talking about this memory. We all believed Caitlin saw something ghostly, but whose ghost did she see? Was it the ballerina, or is there another female presence in the basement of the auditorium? And whoever she is, Caitlin might not be the only one who saw her. When I asked Mackenzie if she had seen any other ghostly phenomena, she said this.
I honestly don't know, because I was playing Lady M down in the pipe tunnels alone with like a Jesse Durant's head, dismembered, you know, head hanging around, and a strobe light. So I was down there for like hours just looking into a strobe light, but I could have sworn I saw a lady in white moving down the pipe tunnel. But again, it could have been a strobe light. It could have been, you know, me being alone and freaking myself out. So I don't really count that one.
Mackenzie may not count it as a ghost experience, but it is a little weird that she also saw a female figure in the basement. It's also interesting that she mentioned the pipe tunnel. Remember that amorphous evil presence I talked about earlier? Well, when I spoke with a folklorist called Darren Edwards, he heard a different origin story for the tunnel ghost.
So the theater one, the tunnel that runs between the Adams Memorial Theater and the Auditorium Theater, is said to be haunted by a father and his child or children. It's said that they used to perform there frequently and that they just enjoyed performing there so much that they stuck around. There's no tragic story as to their death or anything, you know, them dying there, but people say that they have heard them whistling tunes of shows that have been performed at the theater, and also that they've actually heard them reciting lines from Shakespeare. So having been down in those tunnels, I'm sure you can imagine being there late at night and hearing, you know, poor Yurik off in the distance.
The father and child story was new to me, but it could explain what Mackenzie and Caitlin saw. It could also explain an experience that Mona had. Mona worked wardrobe crews for the Shakespeare Festival every summer, so they were often in the laundry room late at night after a show. And if you remember, the laundry room is connected to the pipe tunnel.
That night had been a little particularly scary. I think SUU was doing Mackers, and then we were doing our own productions for going in right before fall starts for USF. So we're in like this crossover, right? There's a lot of people in and out of the theater. I had heard a girl, a little girl, in the tunnel. And in the tunnel is the thing that connects the costume shop laundry room to the underground theater under the main stage. With these two theaters, or the two sides of it, I had heard someone inside of the hall. So coming out of the tunnel, there is just a door that connects into the laundry room, and the laundry room has another door that opens up to the hallway that has stairs up, and then across the side, across the way is the green room. So, all right, I've set the scene. So my friend Jay and I are doing laundry that day. Two people always stay to do laundry just in case anything goes down. So on this particular day, I had been moving things over from the washer to the dryer. I heard a little girl in that tunnel. I was a little spooked, but I didn't say nothing. And then I heard a little girl again, and I thought I heard some knocking. And when I opened the door, ain't nobody was there. Ain't nobody was on the other side of that door. So I closed that door, and I very calmly walked my scared out of mind ass self back to the green room, to which I told Jay, hey, I heard a little girl laughing. I heard a knock, and I opened the door thinking one of the child actors was on the other side, and there was nobody there. To which Jay said, okay, sure, whatever, kind of just like ignoring me and like shoving me off. So we just waited and till the next cycle happened, till we had to move over the last cycle of laundry into the dryer. And so I was like, I'm gonna get our stuff together, and will you go switch the things? And she was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she went and did that. And it was pretty quick to when she was back. I was still pulling things up. And she's like, we got to go. And I said, okay, no, I'll get her. So she's like, nope, grab your keys. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And I was like, what's going on? And she's just like turning off lights behind us as we walk fast. And we had to exit through the door that's very far away, all the way on the other side of the costume shop. I remember the terror because I'm just running through the costume shop and I don't know what has happened. She's like, don't look back, don't look back. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? And we get all the way outside and we're like halfway down the parking lot before she's like, I saw a little girl. I saw a little girl. I saw her little hand. I turned off the lights and I just came right back. I came right back and we're not going to look back. And we're just going to keep on walking. We're going to keep on walking. Like I had already like forgotten what I had told her. I'd forgotten that like, I was not feeling so cool about that. I was just getting our stuff ready and time to go home finally. But what time is that? Probably like 12 a.m. in the morning and we're just leaving. So my mind was going 1,000 miles an hour. And then when she said that's what had happened, I was just like, I'm done. Goodbye, everybody. I don't wish to return. I have done everything in my little brain to bury that information and just have it be like a safe memory. Like, no, it's just somebody in the bathroom.
Mona is the only one I know of who saw or heard the little girl near the pipe tunnel. So I have to wonder, is Darren right that the spirit of a child and her father haunt the auditorium basement? Could this father also be the top hat man? Perhaps the ballerina is his child, or could it be something more sinister? There's a theory among ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts that demons and dark spirits sometimes manifest as children in order to lull the living into a false sense of security. Maybe they can also manifest as a young family with a mischievous daughter, or as we often heard it, a jealous lover and a beautiful dancer. Who knows? Who knows why theaters always have ghosts? All I know is I'm glad I returned my key to the SUU auditorium. Listening. The Ghost Box is written, hosted, produced, and all the things by me, Dory Peacock, with scoring and mixing by Parker B. Obeg, who composed our nifty intro and outro music. I want to thank my friends Mona, Mackenzie, Caitlin, Casey, Amy, Ms. Cortez, and Darren Edwards for sharing their experiences. Darren's book will be out next year, and it will be called Supernatural Lore of Southern Utah. It will be out in either spring or summer of 2022 from History Press. So give Darren Edwards a look. He is a great folklorist and did me a big favor by being on the show. Special thanks to our four-legged fluffy production assistant, George Musington Adams Esquire, because of course my cat is a lawyer. If you have a story you'd like to share with us, send an email to theghostboxpod@gmail.com or slide into our DMs on Instagram and Twitter @theghostboxpod. Give a short description of your experience, and if it looks like something that would work for the show, I'll be in touch. Also, there were a few stories that didn't make it into this episode, particularly one from my friend Rich. If you're dying to hear them, they will be available on patreon.com/theghostbox. Patreon is a nifty website where you can make small monthly donations to support small creators like yours truly, and in return you get access to special bonus content. There are currently a few bonus stories that didn't make it into the main episodes of the Ghost Box, and hopefully there will be further bonus content in the future. I also want to apologize. Apparently, my Patreon page was not live this entire time. I have rectified this error. You should be able to link to it from my Instagram bio, or just go to patreon.com/theghostbox, or go to Patreon and search for The Ghost Box. So if you, like, have too much money and you'd like to toss a coin in the box, as they say, go to patreon.com/theghostbox, sign up for the donor level that suits your needs, and you'll get to listen to the bonus stories from this and previous episodes. Finally, if you like this episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts or your podcatcher of choice. It helps people find the show. And if you didn't like it, then I guess you'll have to move south and seduce an old widow woman with a dark secret, only to discover she is not what she seems. Thank you again for listening. Stay spooky, everybody. I'm in a modern mode of my own. Oh, no, that's not true. Pen sound. And suddenly be plunged in... Plunged? And suddenly be... So it's not uncommon to... My cat paused the recording with his butt. And my neighbor's damn birds are squawking like the dickens. All right, here we go. Okay. Hang on. We're almost done. So close to the finish line. Woo!